The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Habit 2. Begin with the end in mind.
See, Habit 1 basically says, you're the programmer. You with me? Mm-hmm. You're the programmer. Habit 2, which we call, begin with the end in mind, means write the program. See, if you're the programmer, then write it. Don't just live some other program that you don't feel meets your needs and your values. You write it. Habit 3, live it. We call it put first things first. Live the program. Now, in a sense, Habit 1 is the habit of personal vision. You gain a vision or a sense. I am not an animal. I have this internal power to choose, and I can choose on the basis of my values. But notice, that assumes values. That assumes a self-chosen value system. That's what Habit 2 is. Habit 2 is the habit of personal leadership. It's based upon that vision. But it's the program that you write for yourself. You take leadership in your own life. Habit 1 tells you can do it. Habit 2 tells you what's the direction you're going in. That's the habit of personal leadership. You lead your life. You decide the program. You decide your value system. What's Habit 3? It's the habit of personal management. Put first things first. Once I decide what I am about and what I value, now I have to do it. I have to organize myself and actually execute around those priorities, around those values. That is day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month management. You see the difference between leadership and management? Leadership deals with direction, values. Leadership is like the top line of an organization, the top line of a person's life. What am I about? What do I value? Management deals with how do I accomplish that efficiently? It's a bottom line focus and orientation. Let's look at it in another way. Habit 1 says you're the creator. Habit 2 is the first creation. Habit 3 is the second creation. Let me show you. When you build a house, you create it in every detail and reduce that entire plan to a blueprint. And yet the earth has not yet been touched. Is this not right? You have every detail. There isn't one exception. Everything is spelled out before the earth is even touched. If there are exceptions, they're called expensive change orders later. The carpenter's rule is measure twice, cut once. You've got to make sure that the blueprint, the first creation, is really what you want, and you've thought everything through. Each day, you go to the construction shed, and you pull out the blueprint, and it gives you your marching orders. You begin that day with the end in mind. Everything you do, in a sense, has an end in its mind, whether you put that there or not. That's the first creation. That's the first creation. All things are created twice. Everything. You have a project you're undertaking. You have to envision it, get a clear sense of what it's about, what your goals are, your plans to achieve them, before you execute it. Then you have to execute it. That's the habit of putting first things first, which means you organize and execute around your priorities, around your values, around the first creation. I hope you can begin to sense how these three habits are interwoven together. They literally are inseparable. If you were to only teach proactivity, people could get a sense of their nature, their power to choose. But if you didn't get them into the exercises of habits 2 and 3, which develop those proactivity muscles, they'll flop about and they'll fall back, and their proactivity muscles will remain dormant, latent within them. They won't really develop their potential. Now, the later habits are people habits. How you use your proactive muscles and habits 2 and 3 to work effectively with other people. You have to be patient, because we don't want to get ahead of ourselves and deal with people issues too early until we understand habits 1, 2, and 3. Because as we taught earlier, until people have a high degree of self-mastery and self-control, it would be difficult, if not impossible, for them in stressful social situations to be effective. They'll just have a tendency to just live out ineffective programs. For instance, some may ask, well, how do you proactively confront somebody else? How do you give feedback to somebody else? Who needs the feedback? See, that is a social question, but it assumes internal self-control, internal self-mastery. And it's a very, very good question. But you can't really teach someone calculus till they understand algebra, or algebra till you understand basic math. Some things come ahead of other things. You could say to the person, learn to first be patient and empathize with the person you want to give feedback to. Examine your own motive to make sure that you're not doing an ego trip on them. Make sure you put deposits into the emotional bank account. Then when you give the feedback, give it within their frame of reference and in their language and in a time and place that would make it optimally effective for them to buy into the feedback, or at least to seriously consider it. But if a person has not developed enough self-mastery and self-control, see, and then they want to try to give feedback, they'd probably violate all of those principles and just flop all over the place, simply because they don't have the internal self-control to do those other things. You can see the point. Independence, personal independence, is the foundation of interdependence. Now, sometimes you're in situations where you don't need to be interdependent. Then you can just act out your independent capacities. But if you are in situations that require cooperation, teamwork, interdependence, the independent person has the power to work on those situations. The dependent person cannot, because the dependent person is too controlled by other people. See my point? He's empowered other people's weaknesses. That's why people hesitate to give feedback. They're afraid, if I give the feedback, I'll blow it. I just as soon not rupture the relationship, so I won't say anything. Then they have to live with saying nothing. So their circle of influence stays small. You always work on the outside edge of the circle of influence to make it get larger.